This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it all?
Mike, these NFL stories, story number one, they're both bananas, and I say both because there's actually a few of them. Kareem Hunt, guys, 8-game suspension by the NFL today under the personal conduct policy. Lots of folks reacting to it. He is a Cleveland Brown, so the Browns will wait it out. After 8 games, he'll be eligible to play for the Browns, man.
Yeah, again, purely from a football standpoint, dynamic combination because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, combine that with Nick Chubb. So Browns are going to be in the touchdown business when you obviously add the wide receivers they put together, including Beckham coming over. But as far as the NFL, you got a real lack of consistency. I don't know if the fan, you and I are the only guys who care about this. The fans, I don't think they give a flip. But the guy, we all saw the video. Ezekiel Elliott, we never knew nothing about nothing, and he got 6 games. And there was even a report that said he shouldn't have been suspended by the person who investigated him. But anyway, 13 games, if you add the 8 this year with the 5 that he lost last season, talking about Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Do you look at the 5 last year as him being released? He wasn't in the league. So I don't know. Either way, I think the suspension was light. I thought it should have been a full season. Meanwhile, another Kansas City Chief, all right? Kareem Hunt's a former Chief, now a Brown. Tyreek Hill, Mike, being investigated, and we talked about this to start the hour or like literally 30 minutes ago. This is a story that's just now developing.
Yeah, the Kansas City Star is reporting that the Chiefs are now confirming aware of a law enforcement investigation. Only thing we can't find out is how old is Tyreek Hill's son, who apparently had a broken arm, which could potentially be the result of some domestic violence. Not sure where and why, because we don't have the particulars, but the club is aware of an investigation involving Tyreek Hill. Chiefs made a statement. They're in the process of gathering information. The Kansas City Star says, and they've spoken with somebody at the precinct, a source familiar with the situation, said Hill's fiance has been in contact with the Overland Park Police. Incident against the couple's son resulting in a broken arm.
We will see what happens. I brought this up earlier, and if you're going, wait a minute, he's disciplining his child, maybe something happened. We don't know the particulars, but the point is that Adrian Peterson went through this a couple of years ago, guys, and he was on the commissioner's list and missed the season. You guys remember that story, right?
Right.
We talked about it, and people were hot because this was infringing on, you know, AP's rights as a father and how he disciplines his kids. And at the end of the day, I think there's a precedent that's been set if this turns out to be the case for Tyreek Hill.
Right. You know, Northeast in California, people were aghast. In the South, people were saying, my dad got me a switch, but how old were you when that happened? That was the thing people looked at and said, is this child too young to be disciplined that way? Either way, to Carl's point, they've already shown you how they handle something like this. You're right.
All right, man. Real quick, I do want to mention the Braves, and they continue spring training today, Mike. The news is, though, Josh Donaldson gets his first home run. We've been waiting to hear some good news from Josh Donaldson, and this is good news. I mean, he gets a dinger, and it's his first one of the spring. Hopefully many more to come during the regular season.
Yeah, man, the Braves, if you're looking at for some signs, Markakis has really been cranking it up. We've talked about how good Ronald Acuna has been going, and now we're going to see more of it because, again, he had a late start trying to get things rolling and get ambulatory. Talking about our man Josh Donaldson, but good day for the bats, not so much for the arms. 7-6, the Marlins do beat the Braves down in spring training action. But you're right, man, Donaldson going yard, and he winds up with a 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Also, we talked about Acuna. He had a couple of walks. Let's see here. Markakis, he was 2-for-3. So, good day for Nick.
It was.
Now, not a good day, unfortunately, for Sean Newcomb.
No. 4 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs given up, all earned, and then he gave up 4 walks. That's a big problem.
And the walks with Newcomb, that's the buzzkill right there. That's got to get better.
It really does. Story number two, guys, as we talk about our local teams, let's start with the Hawks. They're back in action against the Celtics. We've been saying this. If you're not aware, the Hawks lead the league in scoring after the All-Star break. Mike, they're putting up a lot of points. They're entertaining. Steve Koonin came on, Hawks CEO, talked about it. You know, if you've been down to a game, we'll be down there Tuesday next week as the Hawks take on the Rockets. But they'll be honoring Atlanta United, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so, you know, Arthur Blank's going to be also a part of that celebration. But Lloyd Pierce, our head coach, was talking about a guy that maybe people forgot about, and that's Kevin Herter. Herter's been a guy that has played his role and at times has shown flashes of how well of a scorer he can be.
The future is really bright for Kevin Herter. He's just different. He's 6'7". He can pass the basketball. He's shooting close to 40% from three. I've seen people put some of their best defenders on him, and that's really when he plays at his best. We see that we've got a special player in Kevin Herter.
That these guys are going to be our building blocks. When you talk about John Collins, who's giving you 20 and 10 every night, you talk about Trey and now Kevin Herter, Mike, who's really come on. And here's the cool thing. This is what you want. You know, you don't want it all on one guy's shoulders. You want that help, and I think more help is on the way. The other part of this, though, is are we going to get that draft pick? And Steve Koonin alluded to it.
Yeah, because we're 10 games, just for argument's sake, if you had a healthy John Collins from the start and you were sniffing that 8th seed, right now we're 10 games out of the 8th. That's not going to happen. Mm-mm. But if we were closer and the circumstances were different, would the Hawks have been buyers at the trade deadline?
Might have been.
Interesting. Now, meanwhile, the Mavericks, unfortunately, just keep losing. Now, they lost by only 1 point. It's tough to say you're tanking when you get beat like that, but the Mavericks just keep on losing to the point now they're just, what, three and a half games behind us, and if they get to that fifth spot, they get that protected pick, and we have to wait until 2020 to get the Mavericks pick as part of the Luka Doncic trade with Trae Young.
I want two first-rounders
this season. I want Schlink to go get two guys because I really trust him getting some good guys, and I also want us now to go get some free agents as well because just like the Braves, we talked about it with Steve. You know, the sense of urgency should be there. The Hawks' timeline has jumped up a year almost.
Yes, it has. Hawks-Celtics again tomorrow, guys. 12:30 is the tip, 12 o'clock pregame. Hey, Atlanta United is story number three. You feel better about what you saw against Monterey, right?
Yeah, just got to get continue to get better, knowing how. Again, if you've never played with a guy, you're not going to have that chemistry in just three or four games. It's going to take a minute, just like we saw with Trae Young and John Collins. No, we got to get these guys. You know, Nagby, you saw a beautiful pass to Joseph. As long as I can start to get Pity Martinez more involved. And Barco, just take the shot. I don't care what Longshore says, Jason, if you're listening. Barco, take the – what did we say in Nighthawks?
Take the shot! Yeah, you're right. There's a bunch of guys that I felt that way about. Like shoot it!
Just, will you please – I don't know. Yes, I get it. It's not hockey, but good things happen when you put the puck on the net, and you got to tell me good things happen when the ball is going bouncing in front of the goalkeeper. Come on.
Here's Carlos Bogan-Aguirre. He came on the radio station talking about what to expect from Philadelphia on Sunday.
Well, they're kind of a blue-collar team. They're grinders all over the field. You know, we got to look to get out in these guys' faces, take the game to them. We're at home. Put it on them, really. Don't give them a chance to breathe. Don't give them a chance to get into the game. And we have more quality than them. So that's how we approach these games, that we just can't let these other teams get into a rhythm.
You know how spoiled I am? Like last season, I'd be like, oh, we're going to score three. We're struggling, you know? And that's the deal. Like that goal the other night with Joseph, the pass from Nagby to Joseph, you were like, yeah, because you thought it was going to be an explosion. I'm waiting for the explosion.
Well, there was certainly pressure on Monterey. They did have five guys back in the box, defensive posture after they had that initial push in the first half. But I will say this, the building was electric, fans were into it. Monterey, I was sitting right behind the net. You could see their players reacting, and their players are much bigger and faster than ours because they're worth a lot more money. So we talked about some of the inequity that comes up in CONCACAF. Here, Alexi Lawless's take on that coming up.
All right, real quick, we need to mention this too because it involves a quarterback trade in the NFL. We were talking about this earlier, and as part of our headlines, guys, the Dolphins trade quarterback Ryan Tannehill to the Titans, Mike.
Yeah, because Mariota just, they don't trust him to stay healthy. If anything, I think, Vrabel, who's the head coach, goes, we got to get some help on this. Marcus, he grinds. They got him in the playoffs a year ago, but it's not sexy, and he doesn't stay healthy, and he has a hard time with some nerve issues in his hand and his throwing hand. So the Dolphins are going to move on anyway. Now the question is, do the Dolphins try to trade up to get in the mix for Kyler Murray, or as some mock drafts have shown, the Dolphins hang at 13 and take Drew Lock? And isn't Drew Lock just another Ryan Tannehill?
I think so. The deal's going to pay him $7 million fully guaranteed. He's got a chance to make up to $12 million. This is Ryan Tannehill with incentives for the 2019 season. So, this deal was made easier apparently because Tennessee, since Miami, will pay $5 million of the guaranteed money in the form of a signing bonus.
Right.
Either way, he moves on. And real quick, a couple of other Falcons that we've been keeping an eye on. Brian Poole headed to the Jets. Mike, Marvin Hall headed to the Bears.
Yeah, man. And if he can, hold on to the football, that'd be I'm talking about a deep down the field threat for Mitch Trubisky, who obviously can get the ball to him back 50 yards down the field.
Brian Poole signs a 1-year, $3.5 million contract with the Jets.
Okay. And players, by the way, remember it's earlier this year. They moved it up because they don't want to compete with the NFL later in the year. So all the events have been moved up. Players comes before the Masters. The guy with the long hair, Tommy Fleetwood, 4-under today through 16. He's at 11-under. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to get the PGA voice. Ian Poulter, fellow Englishman, also at 10-under. Harmon, not familiar with his work. He's at 9-under. Rory McIlroy at 9-under. Hey, the ageless wonder, Jim Furyk from Georgia Tech, Carl, at 9-under.
Harmon's a Georgia boy?
That's Stuart Sink. God, I'm screwing this all up seven ways to Sunday. Anyway, the dudes I like. We like Jason Day. He's 8-under. John Rahm, 7-under. Bad day for Tiger. Early start. He played teed off early today. He took a 7 on 17. He hit his tee shot in the water. He hit his from the drop barrier shot in the water, and then he two-putted a 20-footer. A 7, the worst score for Tiger ever at the Players.
Rory's playing well as well, isn't he? Rory, that is. I just saw Rory. Yes. He looks like he's playing well.
Yes, Rory McIlroy, 4-under through 12, 9-under for the tournament.
All right. We'll continue to watch. Thank you, man.
The amazing pageantry here.
Bagpipes.
At the Players. He's just an amazing ball striker, Carl.
You like that word. Hey, coming up, Alexi Lawless, guys, soccer analyst. He does a great podcast. He's on Fox. And he likes Atlanta United. Hear what he has to say next. Right now, we talk to our guy, Alexi Lawless, who joins us here on the WaitForward.com hotline. And it's good to have you back on the show, man. Last time we got a chance to see you, obviously, we were hosting the trophy and putting it above our heads, and we were crowned champions.
And then you said, watch out, because now you got to defend this thing.
Hey, to quote the great Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? It is a new year. 2018 is over. Need I remind any of the players or fans out there, and they know it. And when you are the top dog, both in terms of winning everything, but also in the level of ambition, that comes with a higher level of expectation. So you've, to a certain extent, created a monster, but it's a good thing. It's good to have high expectations. It's good to lead the league. It's good to be the team that everybody aspires to be in terms of the things that you've done on the field, but you got to make sure that you maintain it. So it's interesting right now seeing some of the consternation coming out. Early days for Mr. DeBoer and company over there, but it's not an easy league to defend.
Now, Alexi, and Alexi Lawless joins us, guys, the voice of American soccer, for better or for worse. We love this guy, man. Always love the takes. Did you think Frank was a good fit for us?
I thought it was strange. I thought that him and Baro Schilotto, who ended up going to the LA Galaxy, got their boarding passes mixed up in the airport when they were supposed to transfer, and it seemed like a much better fit. Or a much more traditional type of an expected type of hire if DeBoer had gone to L.A. and Schilotto had gone to Atlanta. So it is a little different. You know, I know that they like to do things differently, but when you have established something that is so entrenched and has had such incredible success, and I know that Tata wanted to go other places, and that's all fine and well, it seemed like rather than a slight veer, it seemed like a big turn in a very different direction. So ultimately, all that anybody cares about when it comes to a professional soccer team is, especially one that's successful, is that you continue to give them the entertaining and successful team that has been promised from the start right now, regardless of who's coaching. So it's up to Frank right now to figure it out. Tata's gone. Almiron's gone. But you better figure it out in 2019.
Alexi Lawless joining us, guys, soccer analyst, and you know his work. And you're still doing the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. Still got the podcast going on, State of the Union. You can find it on all the different platforms out there every week, screaming and yelling about the game that I love. And certainly a lot of it involves the league that I love in MLS. And, you know, what Atlanta has done, you know, notwithstanding, you know, not the problems, because it's really not that big a problem right now, although it could turn out to be, you know, still right now, there's a lot of love and there's a lot of respect for what Atlanta does. But there's also a lot of people certainly that are enjoying this moment of doubt when it comes to Atlanta, especially those that have been around for a while and understand how difficult the league is in order to maintain some consistency. But you know, as I said before, the Atlanta United has built their brand on spending big, so far spending smart, and they have an obligation. If that's the team that they want, the super club, if you will, if that's the team that they want to promote and market, and that's the team that I'm buying into, especially from outside the market, then they have an obligation to make sure that they continue. Doesn't mean they have to win every single year, but they have to at least be competitive.
Brad Guzan came on the show, talked about they had a meeting, and Frank DeBoer, you know, basically invited his players to speak, and they talked about, you know, some of the things that have been going on. Have you been through a situation where you change the coach, and many of the players that you had success with are still there, but the fan base feels like those pieces aren't necessarily being used in the right way. And so now you get this pushback, and it's kind of what we've had going on. And Frank's acknowledged it. He said, listen, we hadn't had a lot of time to train with the compressed schedule and CONCACAF. But when you're in this situation, you know, how do you get it right? What do they need to do?
Well, I mean, so, you know, Frank's put in a tough – look, I'm not crying for Frank. Believe me, he's going to be fine regardless of how this all ends up.
Right.
But you come into a situation where really the only way you could improve was CONCACAF Champions League, and we know that didn't work out. So now it's about, at the very least, getting back to an MLS Cup, or otherwise you're going to be looked at – whether it's fair or not, it's just the way that it works – otherwise you're going to be looked at as a regression. That's not always fair, but that's the reality of the creation that they have gone about putting together here for Atlanta United. We've all been in different situations where you take one or two little pieces out of a well-oiled machine and it can go to hell. And I'm not saying that this is going to hell right now, but certainly the loss of Almiron, it's not as simple as saying, well, we'll just go spend a lot of money and we'll replace him. The guy was incredible in terms of the excitement and the dynamism that he brought to that team, and it scared everybody on the opposition. And it's not so easy just to replace it. Now, Pete Martinez, I think, you know, he's a great player, but he's a very different type of player. And then you also have a very different type of coach and personality in Frank. So these are some major pieces that have been taken out. And the pieces that have been put back in, while they might cost a lot and while they might be just as shiny, it doesn't necessarily mean that engine is going to function in the same way. So that's the big challenge now for Brad and for his teammates right now, to figure out, is there something about last year that they can maintain? And if there's going to be changes, are those changes going to make them better ultimately with this new configuration?
It is Alexi Lalas with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. He was a CONCACAF champ back in the day with the Galaxy, also won the MLS Cup, and he's really good. He's been on the U.S. men's national team. He's really good at this stuff. Alexi joins us here to talk about United, and that's the thing, because of the style of play with Miggy. Everyone here, Alexi's like, okay, Pity, do some of that South American Player of the Year stuff, and they just haven't been able to find the formula yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, the you know, one of the wonderful things about Miguel Almiron was the speed in which he was able to dribble, and it was almost as if he was faster with the ball than without the ball, and you know, there's few and far between, but when you see those types of players, and they have existed, it's really something to behold, and it's wonderfully entertaining to watch. Now, Pitti is a very, very different type of player in the way that he plays the game individually. I think the way that he is going to fit in. And so there definitely is going to have to be an adjustment in how they go about playing, because they don't have. The other part of it is, you know, MLS, as I said, is a very difficult league. Because of that manufactured parity, it makes it very, very difficult to maintain a consistency. And so all the teams will know exactly how Atlanta has gotten to this point, and will be there and ready to defend it. And so inevitably, even if it was Tata and Almiron was still playing, they would certainly have to adjust and not give them this incredible opportunity to transition on the run into space. And I think a lot of teams have learned their lesson watching Atlanta over the last couple of years to make sure that type of style, at least you're going to try to mitigate it. You can't always mitigate it, but you're going to try to make sure that part of it is snuffed out to the extent that they can.
The thing, Alexi, is Alexi Lalas joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We worry about, I mean, the guy obviously knows what he's doing, but we worry about confidence because it's like Mexican rugby. He's been getting mugged in CONCACAF, so he really, you know, hasn't had a chance to do his thing. You think getting back with the Argentine team on the international break maybe helps his confidence?
It might, and look, it's a jarring experience for a player to come into MLS in any type of circumstance. And he knows he's coming in, and he knows he's highly paid. He knows he's being asked to fill some very, very big shoes, and you know, he's coming into a team that's champion, and that's why he was paid the big money, and that's why they brought him in. But it's not easy, because then he also has to adjust to what MLS is, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, all that kind of stuff on and off the field. You had to adjust to that. You have to adjust to a new country, a new culture, all of those different things. So it's not an easy thing. But you know, ultimately, the reason why you were identified as a potential successor is because of what you do, not because you're the exact same player. And so if going back to Argentina helps him get his head straight, and not that he's, you know, played horribly or anything like that, and there's plenty of blame to go around in terms of this lethargic start to the season. And my concern isn't necessarily that you're losing. If you lose and you're entertaining and you're interesting, that's okay. But if you lose and you're, dare I say it, boring, I don't want a boring Atlanta United. That's not what I was sold. I was sold on entertainment and a dynamic, interesting, and exciting team, start to finish, whether they win or lose.
That's been my issue. I totally agree. And I said last Sunday's match, our MLS match, was boring. It was. It's not what we signed up for. It's Alexi Lawless joining us, guys, soccer analyst. I know it's early, but we had a chance to see DC United. I think they're a much better squad than what we saw last year. What are your early, as far as your looking ahead to this season and seeing teams that might be much better than what we thought they might be, or certainly better than they were last year?
Well, I think you're going to have your usual, your usual suspects of New York Red Bulls, and I think NYCFC is going to be better, still not back to Patrick Vieira better, but you're also going to have some surprises. I think the way Minnesota has come out of the chute, and maybe, finally this hard launch, if you will, in the last couple of years, now moving into a new stadium, this is where they really start to turn it on, so that's going to be interesting. LAFC right now is flying. Carlos Vela, I think, is the best player in the league right now. Once again, early days, and that can all change. But I think you're going to find some really, really interesting things that are happening in MLS right now. And it's not going to get any easier for Atlanta, because everyone's going to be gunning for them. And now, if people really do smell blood, that's a problem for Atlanta.
Alexi Lawless with us here, guys. 96 caps for the U.S. men's national team. See him on Fox. Always great to get his take on it. United. So, again, big picture, Alexi. Going to take some time. We're always one pass away. The guys are learning each other's moves, so there is something to that. But you still like our squad. We've got a lot of talent once these guys all put it all together.
Yeah, I still like Atlanta, and I still think that this can be an entertaining and ultimately successful type of team. But it might be done in a different way, and it might be a slow burn. And one of the things about MLS, and we can argue whether it's good or bad, is that it can be a forgiving league, especially when it comes to making the playoffs. And so this might not be a burn historic type of season for Atlanta, but it doesn't mean that they can't arrive at the promised land. They might just have to take some detours and do it in a different way. I'm really, really interested to see both how the team reacts, but also how you guys and that community and that market right now reacts to a situation where you're not the best. It's not all wine and roses. And how does that impact this brand and this team? And what we've come to realize is such an important part of Major League Soccer and ultimately in the soccer culture that exists.
Does MLS need to change, some of the rules as far as how teams get ready for CONCACAF? We were taking on teams who were midway through their season. Right. I mean, they had already been on the pitch, in some cases for 10 matches. We looked a little rusty because, the scheduling. And so it's a question. Do you think that's something that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's always going to be some sort of excuse that it wasn't this or it wasn't that, and I get that, and I understand. It's never going to be ideal. And if it's not the schedule, then it's, we can't compete from a financial standpoint. And I know Darren Eales has been out there talking about how the reality is that, you're playing teams that sometimes have three times your wage bill and all that kind of stuff. Well, these are excuses. And that doesn't mean they're not legitimate, but these are excuses. We are ultimately, if we're going to have success in many instances, it's going to be with one hand tied behind the back. But maybe that makes it that much sweeter. But I do think that there are going to be concessions and things done from an MLS standpoint. I think there should be, to make sure that the teams have the best possible chance of success without completely breaking down the system that we recognize has been what has enabled this league to survive and thrive. And by the way, the reason why these owners wanted to buy into it.
And that's the thing, Alexi, because we got guys mugged. We saw guys down in Costa Rica was one thing. We bounced back against Arellano, but the Monterrey game, it was literally, I think you had Rodriguez had 10 fouls on Pity. They weren't given yellow cards. And I know you don't want to hear excuses, but our fans want to see our beautiful style, and it looked like, like the Pistons back in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it's but that's nothing new in terms of dealing with, let's say, suspect or at the very least interesting refereeing decisions when it comes down there. And when you go down as an MLS team, that you are not going to get the benefit of the doubt on anything. And you kind of have to factor it into how you play. By the way, our national team does it all the time also in qualifying, and you understand that the way that it is refereed and the instances where things might be called one way or the other, that's part of the deal. But from an Atlanta standpoint, once again, I go back to the fact that people will have reacted and people will have adjusted to this team right now, and it's very, very important that Atlanta figures out a way to bob and weave or zig and zag and adjust in a better way
to recognize that people aren't just going to let them do whatever they want to do, especially in terms of what they did last year.
It's always good to have you on the show, man. Good to hear your voice. Continued success. We will check out the podcast, and we'll be in contact with you, man. Appreciate you.
Onward and upward, gentlemen. Everything's going to be just fine.
You know, you did tell us this was coming, though. But where are the Ides of March and Alexi Lawless?
All right, guys. See ya.
That's our guy, man. Always great to catch up with Alexi. And as we said, it is a work in progress. We're not patient people, as we said in the interview, especially on Sports Talk. But there are some things to be excited about after the Monterey match. Hey, guys, game winner is pretty simple. We do this every St. Patrick's Day. What do you have? What's your shot? Shot, 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 shot. Because we'll be drinking lots of Irish car bombs. And for you kids at home, that's just not cool. 404-741-0929. I mean, I guess if you're a kid, you could do a pretend Irish car bomb with some milk and some grape juice. And so, anyway, guys, 404-741-0929. What are you drinking tomorrow or this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day?
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm LaRisha Harris from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Capital One. We're seeing a crash I-285 northbound just before Cascade Road that is blocking a left lane. More trouble for you in DeKalb County. We're seeing a crash I-20 westbound at 285. A three-vehicle car crash blocking two left lanes. Heavy delays are stretching back to Turner Hill Road. You might want to use Covington Highway as an alternate. We told you earlier about multiple crashes reported in that area. Again, that's I-20 westbound between Turner Hill and Evans Mill Road. Now, this crash near 285 just adding to the dragging already in that area. Simplify car buying with Capital One's Auto Navigator site. Find the perfect car and finance it all in one place. Visit CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator for terms and to learn more. What's in your wallet? From your Game Time Traffic Center, I'm LaRisha Harris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here for Brightbox, brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500 is the number. You guys got to make sure you got juice, make sure you got power. So we've seen some really weird weather. Mother Nature's been throwing everything at us the last 12 months. Make sure in the spring and into the summer when thunder comes rolling in, all those storms come from Alabama. Nothing good comes from Alabama. When you get those thunderstorms rolling in, make sure you've got power. Talking about a backup generator from Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. They can set them up to run on natural gas. You don't have to throw a switch. It senses when the power goes out and it clicks on and you're good to go. So whether you've got somebody in your house who's got medical equipment, you got to make sure it has power, or just for you, you want to make sure you're always watching TV or you got the steaks fresh in the fridge, whatever you're doing, call the guys at Brightbox at 770-901-2500 and ask about the backup generators. They can custom tailor one to your house or even your business if you want to make sure you got equipment that's got to stay on over there as well. Don't forget, guys, for home security, home monitoring, man caves, they do it all, but make sure you've always got the juice. Call them today, 770-901-2500 for Brightbox Alert.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All right, man, St. Patrick's Day, not to play the stereotypes, but I am Irish. American.
You stereotyping?
Well, no, we like to drink. We like to get after it.
That we do.
I mean,
I'm going to have one tonight, Mike. Maybe two.
I was cursed with only being 5'7", but I was blessed with having three kidneys. So it all equals out, Carl.
You might have three.
Hey, man, what's your shot? What are you going to have either Saturday or Sunday? Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, but most of us will be really getting after it tomorrow, including the parade right here in Atlanta. 404-741-0929. Before we get on with the merriment, the reality of some really bad stuff in the NFL unfortunately darkens our door on a Friday. More information, Carl, coming out about Tyreek Hill, and the allegations have quickly become more significant and be, quite honest, kind of troubling, as Mike Florio pointed out in Pro Football Talk. TV station in Kansas City, KCTV, authorities investigating Hill for not one but two incidents of child abuse.
Oh.
The first happened on March 5th, the second on March 14th. If you're just tuning in, there's already a report that he broke his kid's arm. The second report does not include Hill's name, but he lives at the address listed on the police documents. His fiancée's name appears under a category described as others involved. Kansas City Star, we had that report for you earlier. Second incident results in Hill's 3-year-old son suffering a broken arm. He had already found a way to, escape going to jail or get charged. I guess it was some kind of pretrial, what do they call that? When you make the deal with the DA and you keep it out of court. I know it's a plea deal, but there's a name for it. He punched his,
grand jury?
No, he allegedly punched his fiance back in 2014, I guess the mother of the child who now allegedly broke the arm up.
It's a bad look. again, I don't want to rush to judgment, but it doesn't sound good. And now, Mike, you may have a situation, for those people who may not have been aware of this, the Chiefs were in negotiations of trying to sign him to a long-term deal. We had talked about, you know, some of these other wide receiver deals, and we're going to get to game winner here, 404-741-0929. But, Mike, we had talked about some of these other wide receiver deals. A.B., right, resetting the market. Tyreek Hill was going to be one of those guys. I don't know how this affects those negotiations. More importantly, what the Chiefs may do if this information comes out and is proven to be true, which obviously there are various reports out there and this investigation is ongoing. Not a good look.
What I was trying to find, and the words escaped me, he did some case was dismissed. Probation requirement. So he had the case expunged, and the alleged assault on his wife back in December of 2014. The reports were out there that he choked and punched his girlfriend, who was pregnant at the time, and that is the kid that he allegedly broke the arm of in Kansas City in March. Mm. So here we go. Now, again, Carl, on the heels of what we just saw, though, with Kareem Hunt, I mean, how's Goodell going to handle this one?
Well, this is what we're talking about. I mean, if you're willing to tell me, and I'll just leave this, let you marinate on this for a second. If you're willing to tell me that a guy just got 8 games for kicking a woman and literally being held back for going after her on video, and now you have a child's arm broke. Now, I get it. I hear you. Who's the parent? I know we're going to hear the same things we heard with Adrian Peterson.
That's
I get it.
A little bit different. I mean, where are we going to have the defense of, like, Jack Nicholson in The Shining? One extra ounce of pressure, Wendy. Remember when the kid broke his shoulder? It's bad optics.
But, Mike,
if
this turns out to be true, what's the punishment? What are you talking about? Because I'm telling you, this is the standard we've been talking about all day.
If Ezekiel Elliott gets nothing for 6 weeks that they could prove, you know, and we'll find out. More to come.
More to come.
That's why Roger Goodell gets paid the big bucks. He's the lightning rod, draws fire away from the owners to come up with the decisions on this.
$50 million or more, isn't it?
Hey, man, sorry about that. Again, bad news intrudes on the shenanigans. Hey, man, what are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, Bob, since we in Boston, Bob, this weekend, I think I'm going to drink a Long Island iced tea, Bob.
Stinger, you are tripping.
I haven't had a Long Island iced tea in forever.
You know what's the best about Long Island iced tea?
What's that?
Everything's in it. Gin, vodka, whiskey, rum, and it tastes like an iced tea. Thus, Carl, they call it a Long Island iced tea.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
By the way, just cruising to the show, I was just listening to Nuck If You Buck, by the way.
Oh, you were jamming to that, huh?
It just takes the edge off.
How's it go?
Knock if you buck. Rafa. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day weekend?
Hey, man.
You're on the air, buddy.
Maybe he's drinking now.
Sir, are you drunk right now?
I think he's drinking
right now. Sir, we can't hear you. Sir, I can see you, but I can't hear you.
What? I hear voices.
Sorry, man. Didn't mean to kill the segment with all the bad news about Tyreek Hill, but everybody is hung up, apparently.
No, man, listen, it is newsworthy simply with everything that's going on. We're just passing the news on to you guys. But with that said, this is what we've been saying all day about the Kareem Hunt deal, man. And, you know, again, I think, Mike, see, this is easy. And if you suspended Kareem Hunt for the season, okay, based on what he did, it makes this potentially very easy. Because then you set the standard and say, you know what, these things get you suspended for a season.
Right.
That's it.
You know, the NFL with the CBA, and again, people keep asking, why are you talking about a lockout or a strike? Well, we have two more seasons. We have the 19 season, Carl, then 2020.
Right.
And that's when the CBA that they negotiated here in Atlanta last minute back in 2011, that's when that finally expires. So at that point, what are we going to see about discipline? Are we going to get pushback? Could they really dangle the carrot of, no, we'll let you get away with marijuana as something to get these guys to all get on the same page? But they're going to have to centralize and really standardize the punishment. That's the thing which gets us upset because there's no rhyme or reason. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I got to go with some Jameson's Irish whiskey.
Right on, man. That's what I'm talking about. Drink some Jameson. Now, Carl, by the way, great promo. You're going to be getting lambasted up at Meehan's.
You got to try Lambay Irish whiskey, man. It's really good. You can mix it with whatever. I like it straight, as a matter of fact. But Lambay Irish whiskey, $5 a shot, man, at Meehan's.
Go and see Carl. It'll be like the pre-party party up there. You'll have a cigar going, too?
I just might, Mike Bell.
Right on. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? What are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day weekend?
Hey, Mike, Carl, look at here. You know what I'm drinking. 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon Tall Boys, and I'm going to drown that thing with a whole bottle of Jack Daniels. And, hey, Mike, that word you was looking for, pre-trial diversion. That's... I don't have to use it maybe 5 or 6 times. Roll damn time.
He's had 5 or 6 times. He said pre-trial diversion.
You know what? Why do I have the sense that you might be an attorney somewhere?
Thanks, brother. Give the assist to our man from Alabama. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day? Turn down your radio. You're on the radio. Go, go, go.
Hey, I'm drinking ENJ, a.k.a. Irken Jerk, with sweet tea and a lemon twist.
Nice. Guy's always got something going on.
Yeah, he does, man. He likes to mix his drinks up, too.
Sun is shining. Trees are in bloom.
Yes.
Now, of course, here comes the pollen, too. But, hey, man, it's time for spring to be sprung here in the ATL. Hey, man, what are you drinking for St. Patrick's Day weekend?
I might be drinking me some Hey Man Ale.
Hey! Boom! And there's the answer we're looking for.
That's what we need, man.
Go to Attaconee Brewing on Twitter to get all the lists of where you can find it. We're in Kroger, we're in Publix, package stores, we're on Draft, and over 125 bars and restaurants around Georgia. Get some Hey Man Ale.
All right, we'll come back. We'll clear our throats, man, and make way for Chuckery.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.